This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use peripheral gaze to remain socially aware without staring. Read every person in the room without locking eyes with anyone. In short, peripheral gaze lets you see the whole room without fixing your stare on anyone. Used well, it gives you continuous read of attention, tension, and mood shifts in any group conversation. Soften your focal points so your wide-angle vision activates naturally. Anchor to one person while tracking others at the edges of your visual field. Practice in low-stakes settings until it becomes a reflex, not a technique. Definition: peripheral gaze technique is the deliberate use of wide-angle and focused vision to monitor social cues across a group without directing sustained eye contact at any individual. It expands your situational awareness while keeping your presence calm and your attention non-threatening. I watched a project manager lose a room once. She was presenting to 7 people, and she fixed her gaze on the most senior person in the group for almost the entire session. She never saw the 2 people on her left exchanging glances. She missed the folded arms appearing 3 minutes in. By the time she finished, the energy in the room had turned, and she had no idea why. The decision she expected did not come. What failed her was not her content. It was her eyes. Peripheral gaze is the skill she needed. The ability to take in the full picture of a room, using your natural wide-angle vision, without staring anyone down or looking like you're nervously scanning for exits. It sounds simple. In practice, most people never learn it because nobody teaches it directly. This article gives you a working process. 6 steps, a common mistake section, and a pre-meeting checklist you can use immediately. Why fixing your gaze in a group setting costs you more than you know. Direct eye contact with one person is a connection. Direct eye contact with one person in a group, sustained for too long, is a narrowing. Everyone else in the room starts to feel invisible, or worse, excluded. The person you are focusing on starts to feel interrogated. Here is what makes this genuinely difficult. We are conditioned to believe that good eye contact means looking directly at the person speaking or listening. That is true in a one-to-one conversation. In a group of 4 or more, it becomes a liability. The moment you lock your gaze on one face, you lose the peripheral information that tells you how the rest of the room is receiving what you're saying. Most people attempt to fix this by scanning, moving their eyes methodically from person to person. That solves one problem and creates another. Rapid scanning looks nervous. It signals that you are checking rather than connecting. People can feel the difference between someone who is genuinely present and someone who is performing attentiveness. The peripheral gaze technique is what sits between those 2 failure modes. It is not a fixed stare and it is not a scan. It is a form of soft, expansive attention that keeps you anchored and aware at the same time. Before you begin, one thing that must be in place. There is a precondition to this skill that nobody talks about. You cannot practice peripheral gaze while simultaneously managing anxiety about what to say next. If your internal attention is split between monitoring the room and constructing your next sentence, your eyes will betray you. They will either lock down or drift. The peripheral gaze technique only works when you are sufficiently prepared or sufficiently calm that your mind has bandwidth for the room. This means you need to arrive at high-stakes conversations with your key points clear and your listening mode switched on. If you want to understand how your full presence shapes the quality of a difficult conversation before it even starts, how the empathy bridge technique diffuses tension before a difficult workplace conversation starts is worth reading alongside this one. The point is this: calm the internal noise first, then the eyes will follow. How to use peripheral gaze in practice. Step 1. Find your anchor point. Choose one person or object to rest your direct gaze on. In a meeting, this is usually the person currently speaking. In a presentation, it might be someone who is visibly engaged. Your anchor is not a stare. It is a soft resting place for your eyes. The anchor matters because peripheral gaze is activated by contrast. When your central vision is gently settled, your wide-angle vision becomes more alive. Think of it like adjusting your eyes to a darkened room. The moment you stop straining to see, more becomes visible. Step 2. Soften your focal muscles. This is the physical key to the whole technique. The muscles around your eyes, particularly the ones that drive sharp focus, create a kind of tunnel vision when they are tense. To activate your peripheral field, you need to consciously relax them. Try this now: look at something directly in front of you, Then let your eyes go slightly unfocused, as though you are looking just past it. You will notice your awareness of the edges of the room increases immediately. That is a sensation you are training yourself to access on demand. In a meeting, it takes about 3 seconds to shift from sharp focus to soft focus mode. Step 3. Anchor and sweep without moving your eyes. Here is the core action. While your gaze rests on your anchor point, deliberately expand your awareness to include everything in your peripheral field. You are not moving your eyes. You are changing what you are paying attention to within your existing field of vision. You will begin to notice things you would normally miss: a slight shift in posture across the table, someone leaning toward a neighbor, a hand that stops mid-gesture. None of these are invisible. You simply were not trained to notice them while your eyes were occupied elsewhere. Practice this in a low-risk environment first. A coffee shop is ideal. Fix your gaze on a cup or a book, relax your focal muscles, and see how much movement and expression you can register without moving your eyes. Do this for 5 minutes a day for 2 weeks. The skill becomes a reflex faster than you expect. Step 4. Act on what you see, not what you assume. Peripheral vision gives you information. It does not give you interpretation. A person shifting in their seat might be uncomfortable with what you said, or they might have a sore back. Someone glancing at a colleague might signal disagreement, or it might be nothing. Your job is to notice and file, not to react immediately. The moment you act on a peripheral cue, ask yourself whether you have enough to warrant a response. If someone's body language shifts significantly, you might simply pause and open the floor. I want to make sure we have covered this well. Does anyone want to add anything? That is a response to the room, not an accusation directed at one person. How to ensure every participant gets heard has a useful framework for exactly this kind of moment, when you notice someone at the edge of your visual field who seems to have something unsaid. Step 5. Rotate your anchor deliberately. Every few minutes, shift your anchor point to a different person. This is not scanning, it is rotating. The difference is pace and intentionality. Scanning is rapid and aimless. Rotating is slow, purposeful, and natural enough that nobody notices. When you move your anchor, do it at a natural transition point when someone finishes speaking, when a new topic starts, or when you ask a question. This way, the movement of your gaze tracks the rhythm of the conversation rather than cutting across it. A practical script for rotating your anchor in a tense meeting after you've asked a question: shift your gaze to someone who has been quiet. Hold it gently, not with expectation, but with welcome. Then return to whoever starts to speak. This small rotation sends a signal to the quieter people in the room that you are aware of them, without singling them out. When dominant voices are taking over a discussion, this technique is one of the quietest tools available to you. Step 6. Use peripheral cues to time your interventions. This is where the technique moves from passive awareness to active communication. Once you are comfortable reading the room peripherally, you can use those cues to decide when to speak, when to pause, and when to redirect. If you notice two people exchanging glances while someone else is speaking, that is often a signal that an unspoken concern is building. A well-timed pause, followed by "I want to check in before we move on, are we all aligned on this?" can surface that concern before it becomes resistance. Nonverbal communication in tense situations goes deeper on reading and responding to these signals when the stakes are high. This level of awareness is what separates a meeting facilitator who manages a room from one who simply runs through an agenda. Understanding how communication drives a meeting from start to finish is worth exploring in the role of communication in meeting success. Adapting the technique for remote and hybrid settings. Video calls create a specific problem. The camera is usually at the top of your screen, but faces appear below it. To appear to make direct eye contact with someone on a video call, you must look at the camera rather than their face. The moment you look at their face, you appear to be looking away. This forces a compromise. The peripheral gaze technique adapts as follows. Position your video window as close to the camera as possible, reducing the gap between where you look and where the camera is. Then use soft focus on the camera itself, relaxing your gaze rather than staring hard at the lens. This allows you to register facial expressions in the video tiles below while still appearing engaged to the person on screen. In a grid view with multiple participants, treat the camera as your anchor and the faces in your peripheral field as your awareness field. You will not catch everything, but you will catch enough: someone's expression shifting, someone leaning forward, someone visibly disengaging. How to handle conflict during meetings addresses how to respond once you've spotted those signals, whether the meeting is in person or online. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong with this skill. The mistake, over-softening and glazing over. Why it happens. When people first practice soft focus, they go too far and their eyes lose all expression. They end up looking vacant or disinterested. What to do instead? Soft focus does not mean unfocused expression. Keep your face engaged and alert. The softness is in the eye muscles, not in your presence. Think of it as watchful stillness rather than blankness. The mistake, checking rather than noticing. Why it happens? People treat peripheral gaze as a monitoring task, methodically searching for signs of trouble. What to do instead? Shift from active searching to passive receiving. Let information come to you. Peripheral vision works best when you stop trying to force it and simply allow your awareness to expand. The mistake, reacting too quickly to ambiguous cues. Why it happens? Once people start noticing more, they feel compelled to respond to everything they see. What to do instead? Build a habit of noticing and waiting. Most cues clarify themselves within 30 seconds if you let the conversation continue. Only intervene where a cue is sustained or repeated. For high-tension moments, how to de-escalate argument during meetings gives you a framework for responding without inflaming. The mistake, using the technique only in high-stakes moments. Why it happens? People save the skill for important meetings and never build the underlying reflex. What to do instead? Practice in everyday conversations, meals with family, casual team check-ins. The technique only becomes reliable when it is automatic. Your pre-meeting peripheral gaze checklist. Use this before any meeting where reading the room matters. Number 1. Prepare your content well enough that you can listen. You cannot use peripheral gaze if you are mentally rehearsing your next point. Number 2. Choose your opening anchor point in advance. Know who you plan to rest your gaze on when the meeting begins. Number 3. Remind yourself of the soft focus sensation. Take 3 seconds before entering the room to let your eyes go soft and wide. Number 4. Identify the 2 or 3 people whose reactions matter most. These are the ones you will monitor with your peripheral field. Number 5. Set an intention to pause before reacting. Remind yourself that a cue is information, not a prompt to act immediately. Number 6. After the meeting, review what you noticed. Ask yourself, what did I see at the edges that I might have missed 6 months ago? That reflection accelerates your development faster than any other practice. The discipline behind the quiet skill. Here is what I know after 6 decades of working into rooms where the outcome depended on reading people accurately. The most effective communicators are not the ones with the loudest voice or the sharpest argument. They're the ones who see the whole picture, while everyone else is focused on the part directly in front of them. Peripheral gaze is not a trick. It is a form of respect for every person in a room, a signal that your attention is not owned by the loudest or most senior voice. It takes practice and it takes patience. Some days it will feel effortless. Other days you will catch yourself locked onto one face with a tunnel vision of anxiety. When that happens, do not judge it. Soften your eyes, find your anchor, and let the room come back into view. The peripheral gaze technique, applied with consistency, becomes one of the most powerful tools in your non-verbal repertoire. Not because it is complex, but because so few people ever bother to build it. Frequently asked questions. What is peripheral gaze technique? Peripheral gaze technique is the practice of using your wide-angle, unfocused vision to monitor a room or a group without directing your stare at any single person. It lets you track expressions and movements while appearing calm and attentive rather than watchful or intense. How do you practice peripheral gaze without it looking obvious? Anchor your direct gaze on a neutral point, such as a speaker or a document, and consciously relax the muscles around your eyes. Over time, your visual field expands naturally. Regular practice in low-stakes settings, like cafes or public transport, builds the skill quickly. Is peripheral gaze technique useful in meetings? It is one of the most practical tools you can bring to a meeting. It lets you notice who's disengaging, who's about to speak, and where tension is building, all without interrupting the flow of the conversation or making anyone feel watched. How is peripheral gaze different from normal eye contact? Normal eye contact is direct and focused on one person. Peripheral gaze is diffuse and unfocused, using the outer edges of your visual field. You are not ignoring the person in front of you. You are expanding your awareness to include everyone around them simultaneously. Can peripheral gaze help in tense or conflict situations? Yes, in high tension moments, direct staring can escalate things. Peripheral gaze lets you monitor everyone in the room without signaling threat or dominance. It keeps you informed and calm while the room reads you as composed rather than reactive. How long does it take to master peripheral gaze technique? Most people notice a real difference within 2 to 3 weeks of daily practice. The physical skill, relaxing your focal point and expanding your visual field, comes quickly. Using it naturally in conversation without self-consciousness takes a few more weeks of consistent application. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.